Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
8:15, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Hot and humid all weekend long, but a 40% chance for showers. Not that 70% that we've been experiencing, so maybe we can dry out a little bit. And if you're behind on the grass cutting, you can get that done before it gets unmanageable. Rafael Goyeneche joins us now, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission, to talk about the mayor's press conference yesterday and the problems with NOPD and crime in the city. Good morning, Rafael. How are you?
I'm fine, Tommy. How are you?
I'm okay. Let's start with the importance of NOPD and stopping officers from leaving, stopping the bleeding, if you will, retaining officers and attracting new ones. The importance of that when it comes to the crime problem in the city, can it be emphasized too much?
No. I mean, we've been pushing out weekly crime updates since 2020. And every month since 2020, we've been seeing crime, violent crime, go up while the numbers of officers have gone down. So it's reached the point now where everybody in the city recognizes the acute shortage of staffing. And now the mayor is embedded in the police department, and she's heard the outrage from her constituency, and she's trying to do something about it. So I'm grateful for that. I'm just disappointed and frustrated that it's taken 2.5 years for her to embed herself in the police department and the problems that have been piling up there. And everybody has been aware of it. But if she wasn't aware of it, shame on her. If she was aware of it, why didn't she do anything about it?
Along those lines, Mike Pearlstein, a WWL reporter, tweeting that at least now she's for the first time acknowledging that it is a crisis. So with that established, in terms of what she had to say, Rafael, does she have her finger on the pulse of the problem? She embedded herself. She listened, but did she hear?
Well, that remains to be seen. I mean, there was some positive things that have happened recently. Pay raises have been approved. You've seen she announced yesterday new equipment, new police vehicles. You know, many of the vehicles that people see parked outside of police district stations aren't just sitting there because there's not enough officers to get in, and many of those vehicles don't work. They needed new vehicles. So that's in the works. And she just didn't buy them and announce that yesterday. That's been in the works for probably several months. Mm-hmm. So I think that she's heard the outrage. But one of the things that she said that resonated with me, you know, when she went to all of the district stations and got the feedback from officers about what was wrong with the department, her comments yesterday were, they didn't tell me anything I didn't already know, or something to that effect. So if she knew about it years ago, why didn't she do anything about it years ago? So, I'm grateful that she's doing something about it now. And I guess there's no point in woulda, coulda, shoulda. But I think that what needs to happen right now is everybody needs to start rowing in the same direction. And until we stabilize the manpower situation in the police department, and that not just includes recruitment, but even more importantly, retention. So there was an announcement that they've promoted officers that are eligible for senior status. When they do that, they give them a raise. And they pointed out that there were 80 officers. Well, there have been 160 officers that were eligible for that promotion, but 80 of them have left the force without being promoted to that level. So I think that, you know, we missed an opportunity there to give officers, veteran officers, a promotion that didn't require civil service approval. And because we didn't, that may have been a deciding factor in some of those officers choosing to leave the force.
All right, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We come back. I was talking yesterday, and I know, Rafi, you'll never miss a moment of this show, right? I mean, you're locked in every second.
I'm glued
right?
to it.
I know.
I'm glued to it, yeah.
Inseparable, like when you try to crazy glue a lamp and you get stuck to the lamp. That's how much Rafael is glued to it. But seriously, Leslie Harris saying that they were looking at an ordinance about nepotism and cronyism in NOPD, and I'm just thinking, well, you know, at this level, this is not like you're promoting a teenager to run a McDonald's or something. At this level, everybody should know that nepotism and cronyism is wrong when you're running a police department. We get your comments on that when we come back. 8:20, time for traffic now on WWL. 8:23 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Friday morning, August 5th. Thanks for getting your week wrapped up with us or your weekend started. And I guess that depends if you're left or right-handed. Rafael Goyeneche is our guest, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. And before we went to the break, Rafael, I was saying yesterday, we're talking to council member Leslie Harris, and she was speaking of an ordinance that would address nepotism and cronyism in NOPD. And as I said, this is not like, you know, some teenager running a fast food outlet or something like that. You would think at this point that you wouldn't need a city ordinance to address that kind of thing. Does that speak to the leadership of NOPD in your mind, or what are your thoughts on that?
I haven't seen the ordinance, but I've been doing this for a while. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that police officers hate more than the way things are is change. Mm-hmm. So anytime an officer is promoted out of a band of eligible people for recruitment, the people that didn't get promoted feel that there was nepotism or cronyism mm-hmm. involved in it. And the rules for promotion are governed by civil service. Civil service has approved all of those rules. And the reason that civil service exists is to, in part, remove politics, cronyism, and nepotism from the hiring and promotions of city employees. So, you know, I don't know how you're going to be able to actually prove nepotism or cronyism in all of the matters. If you have police officers whose family members work for the department, you obviously wouldn't want the person with the decision to make a promotion making a decision about promoting one of their family members. So, I can't really speak to that issue. I've been hearing that argument for decades now.
Part of crime in New Orleans includes Orleans Parish Prison, and I would think that would be also something that would get the attention of the Metropolitan Crime Commission and some stabbings in Orleans Parish Prison. Is that something that's on your radar as far as the way the prison's being run or anything new happening there?
Well, exactly. I mean, you know, we monitor what happens in the prison. And when there's stabbings, that means that crimes were committed. And we track all of the felony arrests that are made in the city of New Orleans. And I have staff members that monitor magistrate court for first appearances. And we have seen some things in magistrate court, and we have not seen some things in magistrate court. And what I'm referring to is a few weeks ago, we saw an incident in which an inmate making their first appearance attacked a guard. And the magistrate commissioner said, I guess I'll be seeing you back here again tomorrow when you're rebooked. Never saw that individual rebooked. Mm-hmm. And with the respect to some of the things that we haven't seen is these reported stabbings in some instances have not resulted in arrests. So why is that not the case? Because when you have contraband in a jail, that's a felony. When you stab somebody, that's a felony. So I'm concerned when I don't see people being held accountable in that jail And I recognize how serious that inmate population is, because at any given time, there are 200 people waiting to be tried for murder, and 70% of the inmates in that jail are in there for felony crimes of violence or felony weapons offenses. So it's an extremely hard jail to manage from a security standpoint. And I'm just concerned with the silence from this new administration right now.
Have you noticed a distinct difference between the way the jail is being run now that Susan Hudson is in charge? And I'm not trying to bring personality into this, but there was an election and there has been a change in leadership. And are there things, I guess, other than what you just enumerated on your radar that has you wondering what's going on over there?
Well, there are a number of issues. I've reached out to the sheriff. She hasn't called me back. She doesn't particularly want to meet with me yet. I'm hoping that that changes over time. But yes, I have some concerns. I'd like to be able to talk to her about it before I air those publicly. Mm-hmm. But I think that there are a number of issues. And part of it is with a new administration. She never worked in corrections. Many of her people that are in senior positions haven't worked in corrections. And there's a learning curve in all of this, coupled with the fact that there is an understaffing problem in that jail. So all of those things, I think, have contributed to this, but there is no excuse for the lack of transparency and the lack of her informing the public and holding some of the inmates accountable for the crimes that they may commit while they're in custody.
Well, Raphael, you know, whenever you're ready, if you don't get a response or you want to talk about the issues, we're more than happy to have you on and listen to what you have to say. I understand you wanting to work it out first, but either way, we're here whenever you're ready. All right?
I know that. I appreciate it.
Thanks, sir. Quickly, too, before we run out of time, a minute left, the mayor made mention of the consent decree and trying to end it. Do you think it's time for that to go away, and has that greatly hindered NOPD?
Yes, it's time to go away, but it's not going to go away until the federal judge says that it's time to go away. So I think the mayor can complain about it, but until the police department adheres to the contract, which is the consent decree, and they're in substantial compliance, she can huff and puff, but it's not going to go away.
And you still have, and they're still going to have to do what the decree calls for, right?
Absolutely.
So I don't see where the changes are.
I know you got a break, yeah. But there are several things that she said that she's going to stop doing. Well, that's not what the judge wants to hear, because once the city's determined to be in compliance, it starts a 2-year wind down period where they have to maintain compliance. So being declared in substantial compliance doesn't mean that you can go back to the bad old days. The real test of this consent decree is going to be 10 years after the consent decree goes away. And if the police department is still maintaining the institutional changes that have been implemented during the consent decree, because if it backslides, how much did it cost this consent decree? And if we have to repeat history again, how bad is that going to be for the city of New Orleans and the image of the New Orleans Police Department? So this consent decree was needed, and the consent decree policies that are in place need to be maintained after the consent decree is gone.
Thank you, Raphael. I appreciate your time. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Raphael Goneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We'll talk to J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.